Well, welcome. I am Pastor Joel Kangas. This is Resurrection Free Lutheran Church. We are so glad you are joining us today as we look into God's Word to determine how it is that God invites us to have an encounter with Him. An encounter with Him. I want you to think about that. God wants you and I to have an encounter with Him. If you read through Scripture from the beginning to the end, it's time after time, page after page, recounting the events where God encountered people. And what God has been doing from ages past, God wants to do in the present and into the future. We are not deists. Deists is a belief system that says, okay, God made the world. God created it. He kind of like wound it up like a clock, and then he removed himself and let it do its thing. God is removed is the belief of a deist. Now you might not think you're a deist, but are you a practicing deist? Do you have this idea that, well, yeah, God's out there. God might be having the beginning. He might be responsible for the beginning of things, but he's not really concerned with my day-to-day life. And therefore, I don't need to be concerned with him on a day-to-day basis. Have you gone through days without an awareness of God? And that's what we want to confront today, because we believe Scripture is calling us into an ongoing encounter with God, with his truth, with his power, with his love. And so we want to be sure. We want to be doing a little checkup today. Am I a practicing deist? Or am I someone who's seeking the face of God? Think about Adam. Think about Adam and Eve having an encounter with God. Or Abraham, or Isaac, or Jacob. The patriarchs each having an encounter with God. Think about King David being called by God, having an encounter with God. Throughout the pages of the Bible, you come to the prophets, and they're hearing from God and communicating the message of God. You turn to the New Testament, Jesus himself shows up, God in flesh, walking amongst us, calling people into a relationship with him. And then the disciples, after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, walking out their lives, being guided by the indwelling presence of the Spirit of Christ in them. Throughout Scripture until the very last pages where God is on the stage calling people, speaking to people, revealing his truth. The Bible is full of examples of people walking with God. The psalmists did a good job of helping us express our hunger for God. If we truly want to have an encounter with God, I want you to think about your role and then God's role. Our role first is to seek him. Our role is to seek him. And to strive to meet with God. The Psalms can help us express this. Consider Psalm 27, verse 8, where it reads, "My heart says of you, seek his face. So your face, Lord, I will seek." That's Psalm 27, verse 8. That's a prayer from a psalmist that we want to build into our own life. My heart says, seek his face. And so your face, Lord, I will seek. That ought to be a prayer for every day. Lord, I'm going to seek you this morning. I want to seek your face, a face-to-face encounter with you, a close connection with you, where I'm receiving your input, where I'm discerning your goodness, where I'm receiving your love. Another psalm is 42, verses 1 through 2. He writes, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" Our body is meant to teach our spirit. The things of our body are meant to help us discern more about what God is doing. We don't just live out of our body. We recognize we're three parts. We're a body, a soul, and a spirit. But our body can teach us. Now, it's true, it could also lead us astray. And so we need to have our soul and our spirit speaking truth to our body. But when your body is panting for water, thirsting for water, that can be a reminder that just as our body needs water, so also my soul needs God. Physical thirst ought to create spiritual thirst or hunger. One of the reasons we practice fasting is so that our body can recognize that its cravings ought to be directing us towards heaven. And so we tell our body no for a while from eating food so that it can recognize the need for something even greater than food, the food of God, the manna from heaven. We need God. And even to be honest, sexual desire is really a picture of God trying to tell us that you need something to fulfill your inner needs for intimacy, but it's just a small little picture of the greater intimacy that you're supposed to have with your heavenly Creator. So our body can teach our soul. That's why I so enjoyed these songs that the team picked out for us, where they were saying to the soul to bless the Lord or saying to the soul to praise God. That's what we want to be doing. We want to be teaching ourselves, body, soul, and spirit, to be directing itself towards God, to be seeking the face of God. Continuing on through the Psalms, number 84, verses 1 through 2, read this way. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. It's our desire to be in His presence. Revelation has a great depiction of the heavenly courtroom, of the courts of the King, as worship erupts there, as the angels and the majestic beings are there, and the beasts, and then the multitude of saints. There's this great symphony of worship taking place, and we too want to enter into the courts of the Lord and worship Him and encounter Him. But those calls to seek God don't end with the Psalms. They continue on through the Scriptures. The epistles, the letters of the New Testament pick this up, and they do so in a more instructional way. James chapter 4, verse 8 reads, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you." An instruction and a promise, a direction on what we should do, and then a great announcing of the reward that follows. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Isn't it amazing that the Creator, the Sovereign One, would allow Himself to appear distant and appear a little covered so that we'd be forced to turn towards Him, forced to look, forced to push apart the curtains, forced to kind of wave away the smoke and the cloud so we could peer through and see Him. God is wanting to create within you a pursuit of Him. And so He sometimes backs a little bit away instead of just rushing in and bursting into the scene. He sometimes allows Himself to be just a step back so that you'll step forward. I'm inviting you to step in to the presence of God, to be a pursuer of God. Scripture invites you, come near to God, and reminds you of the reward. He will come near to you. Hebrews picks it up in chapter 10, verse 19 through 22. We read it this morning as a call to worship, but listen again. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Notice it's telling us what God did that enables us now to press in and enter in. God has washed us. God has cleansed us. God has removed a guilty conscience by His poured out blood and by us appropriating that and being washed by Him as with cleansing water. Because of what God has done, we can have confidence to enter in to the very most holy place. The imagery there is the Old Testament tabernacle or temple. The most holy place was where the Shekinah glory of the Lord shone over the Ark of the of the covenant. It was there that only once a year did a high priest enter in, and only then with a blood sacrifice. But now that Jesus has poured out his blood, that place is now open to all of us who have been washed with Christ's blood. And we can, with confidence, enter into that most holy place. The invitation is there. Come in. Come in. Pursue his face. The greatest invitation is from Jesus himself. Jesus modeled that we could live in the presence of God. Jesus lived his life as a human, fully dependent upon and reliant upon and in tune with the Heavenly Father. Jesus lived out a human life empowered by the Spirit of God as he pursued the face of the Father God. And he invites us to do the same. One of my favorite chapters is John 15, and in verse 5, Jesus is saying, I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me, and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. Jesus is inviting us to abide or stay connected or stay in tune with or enter into close proximity with and remain in that situation. It's an invitation. How sad it is that many ignore the invitation of God. How glorious it is that many are willing to pursue him, press in, and encounter him. I talked a little bit about this last week at Bible camp because it's my firm belief that a young person who does not have an authentic encounter with Christ will turn away from the history lessons and the principles taught through Sunday school and church involvement. Knowledge will not keep a young person pursuing God. But knowledge combined with experience of God, an encounter with God, will result in a young one pursuing him the rest of his or her life. That's why we don't just teach content, we create encounter moments. And that's what we invite each and every one of us to experience. The truth of God resulting in an authentic encounter with God. God arrested people throughout history. He showed up in a way that caused people to be suddenly shook and made alert and made aware of God's presence. Some it was more drastic, like Saul being knocked off his horse as he was riding to another city to persecute Christians, and suddenly Christ shows up, a bright light, a blinding light, knocking him off his horse, speaking to him. Or maybe it was the disciples on a mountain who heard the booming voice of God saying, this is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. I don't know what it's been for you. I don't know what God has planned for you. But this I do know. God wants you to encounter him. He wants you to hear him and respond in faith to him and give him your heart and give him your life and follow him the rest of your days. I've had the privilege of doing a pre-marriage counseling session just yesterday, and I was talking about how we need to have intentional conversations about our relationship. I was reviewing my notes the night before, and my wife was in the room, and she said, that sounds pretty good. Maybe we ought to do that. In other words, whether it's a young couple just about to get married or someone that's been married for a long time, it's easy to get lackadaisical about pursuing your spouse, about engaging in conversations that are deeper than just the activities of the day. And what's possible in marriage is also possible in our relationship with God. So maybe here's a clanging bell, a little wake-up call saying, are you intentionally having conversations that deepen your relationship with your Savior, with your Heavenly Father, and with the indwelling Holy Spirit? Intentionality is crucial. We don't want to drift along, or especially we don't want to drift apart. So what happens if we pursue God? What does God do when we pursue Him? Well, the beauty of Scripture and the promise of Scripture is that God answers and God speaks. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." It's the picture of a man or a woman settling down, removing himself from the distractions and the chaos to discern the voice of God. Our God oftentimes chooses to have a still, small voice through which He communicates to us. And so we want to put ourselves in a posture and in a place where we can respond, where we can hear and then respond to that still, small voice. Or consider this from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 50, verse 4. He writes, "The Sovereign Lord." That's a big word. It's a big title. "The Sovereign Lord has given me His words of wisdom. The One who rules over all is involved in my life in speaking to me. The Sovereign Lord has given me His words of wisdom so that I know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning, He wakens me and opens my understanding to His will." I encourage you to make that a memory verse. Maybe you need to write that one down. Put it on the thing you'll see every morning, whether that's a mirror or a coffee cup, I don't know. But put it where you'll see it. For the promise of Scripture is that morning by morning, He wakens me and opens my understanding to His will. We need our understanding opened each morning. We need God to supernaturally open us up so that we're perceptive to what He's doing, how He's working, where He's moving, and especially what He's saying. We need God to open us up. So morning by morning, Scripture says, He wakens me. So I'm going to turn that into my prayer. Lord, this morning, wake me up. This morning, alert me. And to give me the ability, open my understanding of Your word and of Your will. Jeremiah picked it up. It's a pretty common verse, but have you claimed it? Have you taken this scripture and made it something that you really actually believe and live out? Jeremiah 33:3. "Call to me and I will answer. Call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not yet know." God said it. I believe it. I claim it. I build my life upon it. I organize my days around this truth. I take God at His word. I invite you to do the same. If God says it, make it something that you solidly are committed to believing. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, to the prophet Jeremiah, writes God's word to us. "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not yet know." The letter to the Hebrews talks about this same thing, but he almost does it in a way that involves a little bit of a slap on the wrist. Because sometimes we need a little slap on the wrist. I could have said kick in the pants, but I chose a lighter thing, slap on the wrist. How about you? Hear this scripture. How does it hit you? Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, yet you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is still an infant." So it's a chastisement. And chastisements aren't always enjoyable, but sometimes they are needed. How did it strike you? Did you hear God saying to you, "I want to give you more," but you're in a posture where you're not able to receive it yet? That chastisement is an invitation. Don't receive it only as a chastisement that causes you to push away. Hear it also as a chastisement that draws you towards God and invites you to respond in faith to Him. What's behind the chastisement is that God doesn't want you to stay an infant. drinking only milk. He wants you to grow to maturity and to enter into a deeper relationship with God, understanding the oracles of God, the words of God, and living them out. Goes on to read, but solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. By practice, their senses are trained and heightened and enabled now to hear God, discern what God is saying, discern His truth, discern what's right, to discern what's wrong, to discern what's good, discern what's bad, to discern what comes from God, what comes from the world or from self. Practice. The imagery is of practicing eating solid food. Well, that's kind of enjoyable to do in the physical realm. I enjoy practicing eating solid food. Well, do it also in the spiritual realm. Practice eating the deep truths of God, the solid food of Scripture. And as you do, your ability to hear His voice will be intensified. Let me end this part again with Jesus' very words. John chapter 10, verse 27. The promise is, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Jesus says, if you're a follower of His, you've accepted Him as your Savior, you become one of His own. He calls you sheep, which is kind of a compliment, kind of a little term of you need a leader. And He's saying, my sheep, hear my voice. He didn't say my sheep might hear my voice. My sheep, some of them, hear my voice. He said, my sheep, hear my voice. So it's a promise of God that we claim and we follow Him. So let's get practical. Scripture's full of invitations to seek God. And then it's full of promises that if we seek Him, we will hear, we will sense Him, He will speak to us. How do we hear God's voice? Let me give you some practical things. Write these down, remember them, so that you can be growing in your maturity in responding to God's invitation and seeking His face and hearing His voice. Number one, ask Him to speak to you. Ask. Scripture says you have not because you ask not, so ask. If you want to be guided by God, if you want to hear His voice, if you want to discern His promptings, ask Him to speak to you. Second, be willing to repent of any sin that He prompts you to remember. Sin is like a clog in the pipe. You want to remove any sin that's there in your life. You want to turn away from it. Invite God to cleanse it out, to use a spiritual rooter and get down in there and remove that gunk so that there's a clean, open channel for God to flow into your life. Ask Him to speak, repent of any sin, and then worship Him. Worship Him. Just as the Lord's Prayer, the first part of it is, or after relationship, it goes right into how we should worship God and say, hallowed be Your name. So in all prayer, we should have a posture of worship. If you want to hear God, we want to put ourselves in a posture of worship. And worship is declaring His worth. Worship is saying, You're great, I'm less. You're Creator, I'm creature. You are the Sovereign One, I'm in submission to You. Worship puts us in a posture of hearing from God. And then invite the Holy Spirit to fill you and speak to you. The Holy Spirit is the helper, the counselor, the Spirit of truth. John 14, 26, Jesus said that He would send the helper, the Holy Spirit, or the Father would send in my name, and He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said. And again in John 16, 13, Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. It's the Holy Spirit who speaks the Word of God into you, so invite Him to speak. And then lastly, immerse yourself in the Bible. The Bible is God's revealed Word. And so we immerse ourselves in the Bible. We read it not just for knowledge, but for encounter. We read it as if we're in a dialogue with God. we read it, and I encourage you to read it out loud, not just looking for history, not just looking for principles, not just looking for truths, but for discerning God's word to us. So read it out loud and then say, Lord, what is it you're trying to tell me through this historical account or this principle or this truth you've just revealed? What is it that you want to do in me through this thing that is in your written word? Take this ink on a page and make it a fresh word from heaven that your spirit activates inside of me. And then listen. And then pray some more. And then read some more. And then dialogue some more. And then listen some more. It's this back and forth with Scripture. Scripture becomes your prayer manual. Scripture becomes your conversation starter. The Scripture becomes how you begin your journey of getting tuned in to the voice of God. And then there's this promise. As you go throughout your day then, saturated in Scripture, having listened to the word through the revealed, written down biblical word, you then invite the Lord to speak to you all throughout the day. You invite the Spirit to prompt you at every corner, at every turn, at every situation. He's the Spirit of truth who guides you into all truth. So what are we saying? We're saying God wants each and every one of us to encounter Him. We hear Him call us to repentance. We hear Him call us to faith in Him. And then we give our lives to Him and pursue a fresh encounter with Him every single day. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You're not just somewhere way off distant after having started the world and wound it up, but rather You are engaged and present at all times. You are always near. You are always here. And we want to always be discerning Your presence, encountering Your face, hearing Your word, being guided by You moment by moment. Thank You for these promises. Help us to believe them and help us to live them out. May we, each and every one of us, be hearers of God. In Jesus' name, amen.